Hello, listeners. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us today as we continue through our psychology article for the month of January. And I don't know about you, but I do like to think at the end of one year about what I want to do in my next year or how I would like to grow, whether it's physically or in my job or relationally. And self-confidence is one of those things that really affects different areas of our life, and so that perhaps is one of the resolutions you may have this in this coming year of 2017. Well, this article has been covering how to deal with or how to improve your self-confidence. And yesterday we looked at a lot of different ideas on how to do that, and I have two great hosts that were with us yesterday and have decided to come back. Phew! And continue. So I'll let them introduce themselves. To my right, I have...
Hi, everyone. This is Pauline. Glad to be back with you today.
It's great to have you here with us, Pauline, and really enjoyed your input into this subject. What is something from yesterday that you would love to remind our readers?
You know, the very last thing we didn't have a lot of time to talk about, but I think it's really important, that was to focus on what you can control. So if we get too focused on the exact outcomes, I think that's just putting ourselves in the wrong place mentally. We can't ultimately control if we're going to be hired or not, if we're going to go on a second date with somebody, if they're going to ask us out again. All we can control is the attitude we bring coming into it, how prepared we are, and I think that can just really change our whole lives, actually, if we learn to really just focus on ourselves and bring the best we can to the table and then just let go of the outcome and allow it to be what it's going to be.
Good advice. Thank you, Pauline. And to my left, I have...
This is Josh, and I'm very glad to be back today talking with you about confidence, and that I was confident that I could come and contribute something looking at all my contributions in the past, which is the thing from yesterday that really stuck with me. I was surprised, I have to say, the way they said not to give yourself a pep talk. I'd heard in the past that, you know, letting yourself speak to yourself about how good you are and how well you can do things is important in order to build your confidence. But I really do like what the advice was given, which is to remember accomplishments of your past, things that you have done well, as a reminder of pushing you yourself in order to do good in the future.
That's great. Thank you, Josh. And I think something that we also covered yesterday, it's very small. It isn't really highlighted very strongly in our article as far as bold text goes, but preparing your material before you're going into something. We did talk about that yesterday, and I'd like to just remind our students again that being prepared when you go into a situation is very important. So try to get the time to prepare for something, and then on top of that, you can use these other tips that we talked about. You know, being prepared will just make you feel confident that you've done your homework. Okay, and then once you, if you're still feeling tense or, as it says, edgy in our article, you can use these other things to really just help you overcome that feeling of nervousness or anxiety. Well, we're going to continue this subject today and learn a little bit more about that and how our perspective really does control how we see a challenge and how we can get through the challenge. So let's continue that with our first reading for today is on page 15 on the first column in line 1. Your perspective matters. As for your bad performances, don't pretend they didn't happen, says Arthur Camusel. Instead, reframe them accurately. A student may get a low grade for a paper that is littered with sentence fragments. Don't home in on the thought, I'm such a poor writer, I might fail this class. Don't ingrain it into your psyche. Reframe it rationally. Now I know what to do. Next time I'll read my writing aloud to catch sentence fragments before I hand it in. Low-confidence people approach challenging situations with the expectation they might fail, says Arthur Camisell, who presents confidence-building workshops around the country. If you walk in thinking it's not going to work, that increases tension. Then you actually don't come across well. It's self-fulfilling. People with normal confidence approach the exact situations as opportunities, not threats.
Okay, well, yesterday we learned that how we see things can really affect how we do something. Yesterday we actually learned that once you've prepared your material, you can actually use imagery to think about performing well. And in fact, this creates neural pathways within your brain that are the same as actually doing the activity. So we understand from that how we see something or how we view something is very important. That's why we start off this paragraph saying your perspective matters. What is a perspective?
That's your viewpoint, right? It's not your perspective. We wouldn't talk about a perspective so much if we're looking at an apple. Mm-hmm. Although actually you might talk about looking at an object from different perspectives because at different points in the room, the light's going to hit it differently. So even very concrete objects can be seen slightly different at different angles. But then when we start talking about abstract things, like how accomplished you are, how well you're going to do on something, then this is a very subjective thing, and your perspective, what you bring to that, is going to really change the way you understand it and how you talk about it. So that's right. Your perspective.
Right. So yesterday we learned that having a bad perspective can really determine your outcome. Having a good perspective can also determine your outcome. And that's what we're going into deeper into this paragraph. What do we learn, Josh?
Well, as we learn in this paragraph here, so your bad performances, that you don't pretend that they don't happen, right? But you need to reframe them or look at them accurately in a way that changes your perspective about how you see them.
Right. And what do we mean when we reframe something, Pauline?
So in this case, we're talking about you see it one way at first, and then you decide to look at it another way from a different perspective. So your first impulse when you see a bad grade and lots of red marks on that paper, your first impulse might be to see it as, I'm a bad writer. Mm. I can't do this. Mm. But she is encouraging us to reframe that, to say, oh, I missed some things here. There are some areas that I need to grow in. And that sounds very different, even though you're looking at the same piece of paper and you're not pretending it's not there, but you're looking at it from a different perspective.
Good.
You're reframing it.
Right. I think that's good because yesterday she did actually touch on this. She talked about when you start to hear in your mind, oh, I'm old and outdated in this thing, that you should reframe it by saying, I have years of valuable experience, right? So these negative things that are happening, whether in our mind or did actually happen, we need to look at them from a different point of view. I like how she uses this example of a student who got a low grade for a paper. It said that is littered with sentence fragments. Well, there's a lot in this sentence itself. What does it mean to be littered with something, Josh?
Well, to be littered with something is a phrasal verb that we use in order to sort of refer to something being covered with lots and lots and lots of something. So litter itself would be trash, like you'd see litter on the road. But then if something is littered with litter, it would be covered with lots and lots and lots of that.
For example, my desk in my office is littered with studio classroom magazines, right? It means it's covered with the magazines. But what is a sentence fragment, Pauline?
A sentence fragment is an incomplete sentence. It doesn't have the subject, verb, the classic pieces that you need for it to be considered a full sentence. And frequently in casual speech, we speak in sentence fragments, but in formal writing, it's really important to learn how to write in complete sentences, and English teachers, college professors will definitely mark up your paper if it's full of sentence fragments.
Right, and unfortunately they can lead to a low grade.
Right.
And in this example, that is what has happened. But to reframe what has actually happened, this low grade, Jessica Arthur Camisell is saying, don't home in on certain thoughts that may come into your mind. Josh, what do we mean when we say home in on something?
Well, this is a phrasal verb that we use in order to say to find something or to give attention to something. And it's very similar to like a homing pigeon, or when you want to aim for something, you home in on it. So that's, you put your aim exactly on where it is you want to look at or where you want to go.
Good. So here it means don't focus on these negative thoughts. I'm such a poor writer, or I might fail this class. In fact, she's saying don't ingrain it into your psyche. What do we mean by that, Pauline?
So they're saying don't have this become a deep part of your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs about who you are. Don't let one paper that you did poorly on all of a sudden define who you are as a writer and start to, don't let it pull out all those negative tapes that you have been playing in your head. That can have a really negative effect on your psyche, on your thoughts about yourself and your overall identity, and we don't want that.
Right. Change your thinking and do it rationally, logically. Think, now I know what to do. Okay, next time I'm going to read my writing out loud and to catch the sentence fragments, to make sure that those sentence fragments aren't there before I hand in my paper. So use it to create a positive change in your life. What do we learn, Josh, in this next paragraph, how low-confidence people approach challenges?
Well, we learned that low-confidence people approach challenging situations with an expectation that they're going to fail, which then the point of this being is that that is going to affect the way that they present themselves and their performance.
Right, and this is what Jessica is trying to change. She's going around the country doing workshops to help people learn how to reframe their thinking and hopefully to improve their self-confidence when they're approaching these challenges that they face in their life. What does she go on to say?
She just continues to explain this thought. She says, if you walk into a room, into a presentation, if you walk in and you're thinking it's not going to work, that increases your tension, and then you actually don't come across well. She says it's self-fulfilling. So your thoughts about how it's not going to work, it's that very thought that makes it not work, because your tension, anxiety, your feelings of being all on edge all come through in the way you present yourself. And unfortunately, that probably is going to make it very difficult for you to succeed.
Right. Okay. And she says people with normal confidence approach the exact situations as opportunities, not threats. So their perspective is, this is an opportunity for me to succeed, not a threat where I'm going to fail.
And I really like that she says normal confidence approaches it as an opportunity. They don't approach it as what we'd say is a slam dunk, as a for sure I'm going to succeed at this. But either way, whether they succeed or don't, it's an opportunity. So it's a positive thing that still focuses on what they can control, which what they can control is to take hold of the opportunity and do it to the best of their ability, and then let the results be what they may. Either way, they've done what they could. And I just like that. There's still realism in confidence, but it's a different kind of realism that focuses on the positive sides of that.
Right. There's a lot to be learned even in failing something or not doing something well. How can you grow through that situation rather than letting the failure stay with you? And I think we're going to learn more about that in this next paragraph. So let's listen to our next reading.
fearless mistake makers. Confidence flows from success, says Adam Price, a psychologist. Success comes from trying, learning, and trying again. Performance confidence rests on your tolerance for uncertainty. You're not confident about the outcome, but know that if you keep at it, even in the face of failure and self-doubt, you will eventually succeed. The brain changes as you learn new things or develop new skills, Price points out. Psychologists call it plasticity. For that to happen, you have to tolerate the anxiety of not knowing or failing until the new skill is learned. Become a fearless mistake maker, Price says, knowing that each mistake pushes you further down the road to success. It never helps to label yourself in a negative manner. Once you do, you only see things that reinforce it.
All right. Well, so far we've been learning about how to improve your confidence. And today we've learned how your perspective matters. The way that you view the situation does have an outcome on the situation itself. If you go into a situation with a negative feeling or a negative approach, then it can often lead to a negative result. But how do we overcome these feelings of, I'm not going to be good enough, I'm not going to be able to do that? How do we become fearless? And fearless is the opposite of fearful, right? To not have fear. So how do we become people that can make mistakes, be a mistake maker, but do it fearlessly? Well, we learn from Adam Price. He is a psychologist. And what does he have to say, Pauline?
Well, he says that confidence flows from success, which, okay, that seems pretty obvious to me. But the next piece is the important piece. And he says success comes from trying, learning, and trying again. So success doesn't come automatically. He's not saying it's going to come necessarily on the very first try, but it's that process of trying and failing and trying and failing and learning that brings you to a point of success.
Okay, we go on to see that performance confidence rests on our tolerance for uncertainty. What do we mean by that, Josh?
Well, in this case, we mean that your tolerance for uncertainty is your ability, you know, to deal with something that's unpleasant, to keep going even though you know something might be annoying, and really to be able to deal with all those things that we can use in order to make ourselves not as confident in the first place, that you'd fail, that you won't do as well, that you won't have any good performance. If you have a tolerance for those things and you know that that's just a part of being successful, then you'll be able to move through it with confidence.
Good. Okay. We see that you're not confident about the outcome, so you're not sure about the result, but know that if you keep at it, you keep doing it over and over again, even when you face failure. That is what this phrase, in the face of failure, means. When you are faced with failure and self-doubt, you will eventually succeed. You may not succeed straight away, but if you keep trying and you don't give up, you will meet success. Well, we also learned that the brain does some interesting things as well.
Yeah, this was interesting that your brain actually changes as you learn things and develop new skills. So you are becoming more qualified, both technically on a resume, maybe. You know, you have more experiences to tally up to show that you're more experienced, but your brain is even more developed and ready for this task. The more you try it, the more you do it.
What do psychologists call it, Josh?
Well, psychologists call this plasticity. And that just means, so just like plastic, that is the ability to be easily shaped or molded. So, for example, plastic put into many different shapes, a little bit more difficult to do that with, say, metal or wood, right? So plasticity.
Good. And we learned that in order for that to happen, we have to tolerate the anxiety of not knowing or failing until the new skill is learned. So we need to have this ability for tolerance of failing and trying again and basically just not giving up.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what will help our brain's plasticity increase. So think of it this way, that if you want your brain's plasticity to increase, then you need to be able to deal with the fact that you may not know what's going to happen. And you have to be okay that you may fail. Wow. Become a fearless mistake maker, says Adam Price. He says, knowing that each mistake does what, Pauline?
He says, each mistake pushes you further down the road to success. So I really like this visualizing that he's doing. It's a reframing a little bit of the way that we classically talk about this, because in English we have a phrase, two steps forward, one step back. Mm-hmm. So this idea, you know, you try and then you make some mistakes, so you fall back. But even within that phrase, the idea is you're still moving forward if it's two steps forward, one back. But he's saying it's just, this is all a part of the movement forward, that no successful career is going to have zero failures. No success of any sort is going to come without any failures. And it's part of that journey. And you can see, you can reframe your mistakes as part of that road to success. Nicely said.
Yeah. I like how he says it never helps to label yourself in a negative manner. In fact, that is the problem. When you start labeling it in a negative manner, you're not learning something from it. But in fact, failure can bring growth. Failure can make you learn a lot from it and push you forward. It says once you do start framing things in a negative way, you only see things that will reinforce the negativity of that particular situation or problem. So again, it's that perspective, right? Well, we learned some practical ways to help you, and you've mentioned this earlier, Pauline, as well, about writing things down. Well, let's learn a few tips on how we can reframe our thinking in this next reading.
Try keeping an awareness journal. People often aren't aware of thoughts that trigger doubt and failure. Find helpful cue words or phrases that work for you in the moment. Understand the value of putting yourself in challenging situations. The longer you avoid something that scares you, the scarier it becomes. Avoidance works to reduce anxiety for a short time, then it limits your life. Face your fears. Sometimes it just takes a few positive experiences, says Arthur Camusel.
Okay, well, we're learning more tips on how to improve our self-confidence, and we know that we need to have the right perspective as we're approaching the different challenges we face in our life. And we've talked about the way we think about something and how that can even cause neural pathways to be created in our mind. But we find out a different practical way to deal with moving forward here. What do we learn, Pauline?
Well, it gives a suggestion. It says to try keeping an awareness journal. And it just points out that a lot of people aren't aware of the thoughts that trigger doubt and a sense of failure in them. They are maybe so used to speaking these negative things about themselves throughout the day or as they approach difficult tasks that they don't even hardly notice it's happening. And so they're encouraging that you take a little more time to be intentional about listening to that subconscious line of thought going on. And when you hear those negative things, to write it down and make a note of that so you can really see what's going on inside.
I also like how they mentioned to find helpful cue words or phrases that work for you in the moment. So not only are you looking at ways so that you think negatively and really making yourself aware of that, but also doing, like they said earlier in the article, reframing those things in order to make them positive, and then giving yourself cue words so that later on, when you find yourself in that presentation or in those moments of nervousness, that you can use those little cue words in order to remind yourself of the ways that you can turn those doubts into positive things. I think it's a really nice way to go.
Good. Yeah, she really kind of focused on that a little bit on yesterday when she talked about negative tapes playing in your head. And for example, a way to put this awareness journal into practice is if you hear yourself saying, I'm young and inexperienced, change that with what she says later, that I have youthful energy. Or if you hear yourself saying, I'm scared I'll mess up, you can say, I finally get the chance to show what I can do. So write those down, or like Josh was just saying, in the moment, rephrase what you're saying.
One example for me, I'm still somewhat new to studio classroom and life here in Taiwan, particularly this job. Writing articles is a really new venture for me, and that can be a little daunting. And one of the just words that I use is I repeat college to myself. Like, I went to college, I wrote papers. It's been a long time, but I do recall late nights and learning how to do it and succeeding. So, you know, I've had this whole storyline that I've reminded myself of, but then maybe I just pick one word that reminds me of all of that that I've worked through when I'm in a moment of feeling like, oh, I just can't do this. I can't write this. I'm not up for this task. Then there's another word that I can use to reframe and get myself back into a better place of reminding myself what I can do and have done.
This is great. Now you're hearing lots of practical ways you can reframe your thinking here. And we find another way to do that is to understand the value of putting yourself in challenging situations. You know, we avoid challenging situations. Often we don't want to be in the midst of a challenging situation. But what do we learn here, Josh?
Well, we learn that, you know, putting yourself in challenging situations is really something that allows you to build up a sense of success. So, like we looked at before earlier in the article, it takes these sort of challenging situations and you being able to work through them to give yourselves that sense of accomplishment and confidence. But what it also says here is that if you allow yourself to avoid those situations, it might reduce your anxiety for a little while, but that anxiety will keep building and building, and it'll be much more difficult to deal with those challenging situations as they come up in the future.
Right, and then it limits your life. And so anxiety can get in the way of you living your life to the fullest. So what should we do instead in this last part, Pauline?
It says, face your fears. Go out and experience life. Sometimes it just takes a few positive experiences to get you going. And we hope that you out there will face your fears, take on challenges in life, and expand your life instead of limiting it by being afraid to face new challenges.
And we would love to hear what those have been, or even from today's article, you know, what in today's article has really helped you look at the way you deal with self-confidence or how you can grow in your self-confidence. Send us your feedback. You can do that through studioclassroom.com. We would love to hear from you. We encourage you to look at our Topic Talks QR code there on the top of page 14. It's been great talking to you about this, and we hope that you walk out feeling a lot more confident as you go into your day. This is Amanda,
Pauline,
and Josh
saying goodbye.